media tends to focus on catchy and digestible stories for readers, which leads to disproportionate coverage of B2B versus B2C, namely in the high-tech sector. Welcome to the Visionary Marketing Podcast. My name is Mandy Phillips, and I am a junior web content marketer at Visionary Marketing. I am also a university student about to graduate, and the clock is ticking to find a job in an industry that is lucrative. All students eventually face this plight, and I cannot be the only one feeling stressed. This is all that I have been working toward. I see my older friends landing jobs with companies such as Apple and Facebook. I will undeniably admit that saying you work for a large tech giant has a nice ring to it and will turn heads. But a recent podcast on B2B versus B2C services made me conduct further research and question what many of us have been indoctrinated to focus on when it comes to job search. So, B2B versus B2C, why is everyone focusing on B2C? Throughout my business studies, I was taught to think solely about the consumer. What do they want? What do they need? This business model is commonly known as business-to-consumer, B2C, or direct-to-consumer, where a business focuses on selling products directly to the customers. To further understand the differences between B2B versus B2C, there is a helpful infographic included in the blog post. Well, why is there less media attention on B2B in the high-tech sector? I remember a professor mentioned the name B2B briefly in a passing sentence, and then moved along with the lesson. He did not establish B2B significance, so how could anyone else in that classroom care? Yes, students learn about how businesses source materials for their output or outsource production, but this seems as sort of the prologue for a product. I, along with my peers, are encouraged to step in at that climax of the product's story and market and sell and deliver to the consumer. There is little discussion about B2B services after the product is manufactured, and no emphasis on the present B2B opportunities. There is also not a lot of popular media on this topic. I believe that perhaps I was not taught in depth about B2B because there is a lack of attention to it in the media. The media tends to focus on B2C, and since that is given more attention, there is the misconception that B2C is driving more commerce, gaining more revenue, and is thus more important. Dave Sobel, the host of The Business of Tech and a leading voice in the delivery of IT services, makes his living off of this very disparity. In a podcast with Jan Governik, Sobel explains, in short, that it is because it's hard. Understanding niches within B2B is very complex. There is also the added challenge of making those topics digestible for a general audience. I am drawn to one of Sobel's quotes that reads, "So it's hard. It takes a good deal of time and attention and research. That's not necessarily a broad engagement when you're thinking about news and journalism. You're trying to make it really broad. You're trying to make it interesting to an end consumer," end quote. Business tech in particular is drawn to the stories that are broad, whether it's about the latest gadgets or where the next Tesla plant will be. People love to read about startups and gadgets, but tend to ignore services. Focusing on broad concepts pushes out the ability to publish about particular niches, which include most discussions surrounding B2B services. In order to better understand B2B services, Sobel suggests an exercise. Ask any business possible about who helps them with their technology or computers. You will learn, quote, "There's probably a company all the way down to one or two independent consultants that do that work," end quote. Those are all businesses with jobs that involve leadership, project management, technical skills, or sales and marketing. In particular, quote, "All the technical skills are where technology is desperate for more people," end quote. And there are plenty of job opportunities. This can also be great to start in one of these small organizations and then move up quickly. For every dollar of Salesforce that is sold, there is only $8 of services. Compared to a company like Microsoft, there is $12 of services for every dollar in sales. Overall, B2B companies tend to perform better when compared to B2C companies. To learn more about B2B performance, there is an infographic with 6 statistics included in the blog post. Ignoring the money talk, B2B services can result in helpful change. Sobel acknowledges how B2B services can address intellectual challenges. For example, medical data processing integration can sound awfully boring. However, there has to be a solution to protect people's privacy while also making that information available when necessary as it moves between systems. That is a complex issue that B2B services can address. This helps many people in the process, as opposed to selling them some disposable photo editing app, as Sabo mentions. Opportunity is not always present in the most obvious ways. Quote, "For the same reason that we may not all be professional football players, you need to understand that the actual opportunity is in lots of really boring things. What's interesting about these boring things is they become really fascinating when you go deeper," end quote. These are jobs that can be lucrative and can make a difference. There is beauty in complexity and a blessed future in learning to understand that complexity. Once I graduate, I aim to turn toward making a career in B2B services, and you should too. Be sure to check out Dave Zabel's podcast, The Business of Tech, linked in the blog post, or it can be found on most podcast hosts.
Well, I'm here with Dave Zabel. Hi, Dave. You're talking from Virginia. You're the host of the Business of Tech podcast, and you're an expert in IT, MSPs. Well, I've heard your CV on YouTube. Actually, it was so exciting, and I couldn't stop it. So it was jam-packed with things and anecdotes and everything. And there's one thing that I particularly liked in your video is that you said that in the newspapers and in the media in general, they were just talking about the big guys and the stuff which is good for all the gadgets for B2C, you know, and everything in the middle was sort of lost to them. And yet, this is where it happens, you said. And I really like you to tell me about this and why and maybe evaluate how much we're losing there between these big tech guys and then the small fry.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm super excited. I get so excited about talking about this. So I've been in the tech space my entire career. And so where I think it's interesting is I can quote some initial stats. For every dollar of sales force that's sold, there's $8 of services. For every dollar that Microsoft sells, there's like $12 of services. And I draw this sort of media triangle, and I always talk about the fact that business tech loves the stories that are broad, right? If we think about like the Wall Street Journal, BBC Finance, like all of these areas, they love big tech stories. They love consumer products. They love gadgets. We like talking about Apple and Microsoft and Facebook and all of those companies. That's what they talk about, but they rarely talk about services. Then I go over to the tech press and a version of that, and it's kind of the same story. We love Silicon Valley. We love startups. We love products. We love gadgets. But we don't love services. And then too often in the services space, there's actually – it becomes kind of pay to play, where those are much more about being leads than they are about talking content. But for me, the services piece of technology is so important. If you're a typical business owner, you are interested in technology, you understand that you're going to leverage it in your business, yet you're going to be working with somebody to make it effective. Like that's just the way this all goes. And so understanding that space, that services space that I've spent my career in, that's now what I do from a coverage perspective. And so I try and look at the news in the market and then make determinations going, okay, I'm going to pull some stories and I'm going to pull some pieces. I'm going to tell you why this matters for services companies.
Mm-hmm. Now, so this is what you're doing with the business of tech. But why do you explain that so much of the business is going unaware then? Because it shouldn't be. I mean, if you're interested in the economics, you're interested in the numbers. And if and it doesn't really add up. I mean, I was trying to find out how much B2B was weighing in e-commerce, for instance. And then, well, we found the numbers in the UK and it amounts to 80%.
Right. It's huge. It's huge. Well, so let's start off with it's hard, right? Like these are oftentimes areas that are difficult. There's a reason. Now, I always quip on my show, I like hard problems because in mystery, there is margin. I can make money in hard things. And so it's hard. So if you're a journalist trying to figure something out, it's easy to talk about a product that can go into a consumer's hand, but it's really hard to talk about some service offering or the implementation of a technology as a service and how that's going to result in outcomes for the business. Like, that's hard. I get it. But that doesn't mean it's not the actual meat of how this stuff happens. So it's hard. It takes a good deal of time and attention and research. And that's not necessarily a broad engagement when you're thinking about kind of news and journalism. You're trying to make it really broad. You're trying to make it interesting to an end consumer. By the way, there are they do great journalism on things like the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal. Like, I'm not dissing on that. I think but they are trying to go so broad and they can't necessarily handle every niche that's out there. Yeah. So smaller media companies like mine can go in and say, you know, we're just going to focus on this one area and we're going to be really good at it. And that's what we're going to do.
And don't you have some special news websites and news media were dedicated to certain niche services or managed service providers or
there's a number of different media offerings. My particular focus was to focus on podcasting and then video content. Because again, I think that's kind of the future. I think that's the way media is going, and people are proving to really like slightly longer form content for analysis, but also short form news content. The business of tech's kind of big innovation was that it's a 5-minute daily. And it's designed to be easy to consume, that you can listen to the daily show on your podcast catcher of choice, and you can get 5 minutes and get some news and actionable insights every single day. And over time, of course, it builds a whole knowledge of insights and perspectives and trends. And then we use the bonus episodes and some of the video long form stuff to go deeper into a topic. We want to explore crypto, for example, and like, does it apply to IT services? We want to explore e-commerce trends. We want to explore marketing trends. We want to explore. So we'll use the longer form content to do that.
Okay. Very interesting. We'll make sure that people can actually subscribe to your podcast from the piece we will publish. Now, I understand that this niche that we've described is in fact very big and then generates a lot of money. I suppose there are lots of jobs as well associated with this.
There are tons of jobs with it. So I always, if anybody is interested in understanding this space, I always tell anyone interested to play this game for the next 2 weeks. In your life, every business that you encounter, I want you to ask, hey, who helps with your technology or who helps with your computers? You'll always find a spectrum. A lot of time it's a company, right? So it's a company that's involved with some outsourcer or some bid, and you'll ask your dentist, you'll ask your doctor, you'll ask the people at the at the local mom and pop stores that you visit, like any of your professional relationships, your accountant, like all these people you'll find. There's probably some company all the way down to it's one or two independent consultants that do that work. That's the space that I'm talking about. And those are all businesses, right? Those are all businesses, and they have a lot of different components. There's the leadership element of it. There's, of course, the technical piece of that job, project management. There's sales and marketing. There's all the bits that go into running a business all in those businesses. So you're exactly right. There's tons of jobs here, and particularly on all the technical skills, technology is desperate for more people. The quickest way is saying, like, I have some technical skills. Wow, they are in demand right now in terms of this entire space.
Okay. Is that only true for engineers, or is it also true of marketeers and salespeople and people like that?
Yes, and yes. Obviously, the lead is always some level of technical skills. But by the way, there's a whole element of customer service that goes along with this. And you can learn technical skills. And oftentimes, if you come with really great customer service skills, they can be applied in this space. So yeah, from a job perspective, so much opportunity here. And they can be great, you can start and then move up in these small organizations very quickly and take on more and more responsibility.
Okay, so I think we're on the same page. There's a lot of money. There are loads of jobs to grab at there. And yet, when we talk to your average student, be it in business school or engineering schools, they don't not very excited about, you know, service like this, B2B services. They're more into, well, consumer services or consumer products. They think it's easier. So what should we say to them?
Well, so the answer, my answer to that is look, I get it. I get the hype. But for the same reason that we may not all be professional football players, you need to understand that the actual opportunity is in lots of really boring things. But what's interesting to me about these quote unquote boring things is they become really fascinating when you go deep. The reason they're not as interesting to you is because you do not understand the complexity. And complexity is really fascinating because you can then solve problems in lots of neat, interesting ways. And the further you get into a complex idea, the more you find there's subtlety. That's the power. And so, yeah, at first glance, you may not think that that's interesting. You do not understand enough to understand why it's interesting. And so I always tell people, like, I use this example and say, like, you know, medical data processing integration sounds really, really boring, right? But when you get into the subtlety of, like, how are we going to properly handle patient data as it moves between systems? We want to protect people's privacy, yet at the same time make that information available. It's like, oh, wait a second. That's a really interesting intellectual challenge. Oh, and by the way, we're helping people. Like, we're actually helping people get really great medical care, as opposed to selling them some disposable, you know, photo editing app or like what's actually making a difference in people's lives. And we hear all the time, particularly from young people, that they want to be in areas that make a difference. You know, they want to be in jobs that make a difference. Well, here it is. Like, it's in these subtle problems of the way services are delivered to people. That's where some really interesting stuff happens.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, for this passionate plea for B2B services. Now I know what to say to my students and how to motivate them. Thank you very much indeed.
Happy to help. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Visionary Marketing Podcast. We hope this piece has been useful to you. Don't forget to give us a good rating on whichever platform you use. And we hope to see you soon on the Visionary Marketing Podcast channel.